I asked Charlie to come up and say a prayer for the message. And as we were pulling in yesterday, Charlie was doing something with somebody as we were driving in, and I hollered out a greeting, and I remember him turning around that big smile. That big smile, I thought, this is where it is at. You know, and that smile, man, we're going to see all kinds of those in heaven, aren't we, Charlie? Let's pray, man. Appreciate you.
Let's pray. Our blessed Father in heaven, we're honored to be in your great creation this weekend. We're thankful that you have considered us worthy to be called your children.
Yes, Lord.
And we just ask that today you will get us fired up and help us to be encouraged by the brethren who've been charged with your word to give these encouraging words to us and to present it in a way that helps us all desire even more to seek first your kingdom and your righteousness. We thank you again for Jesus and the sacrifice he's made on our behalf, and that he has ascended to glory so that we can have a hope that will not disappoint. We can get through this life successfully and on to the next life in glory with you. We are just grateful that you've given us eternal life, because we know that those who've gone on before us, who are dear to us, will see again, and we're just really honored and thankful for that concept. Keep us moving forward, keep us excited, keep us victorious. I ask you to be with our brother this morning as he preaches to us. Guide him, be with his words, that they will be edifying and encouraging to all of us to excel still more. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, brother. Yeah, I remember Charlie when he was a little guy up in the Flathead when Tom was working at the sawmill up at Plum Creek. It's so cool to see the generations. We're going to go to Matthew 20:28. That's the assigned scripture that I've been given. And we do have a little breeze, man. In the morning, usually I get off the hook. But okay, here we go. Man, yes, sir. The breath of God helping us out here. Matthew 20:28. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life a ransom for many. That to and be are so important, aren't they? Those little tiny words. There's a big difference between being served and to serve or serving. And Jesus makes that clarification with his life big time. And that's what we're going to look at today. I want to start with a little story I heard, and I've kind of Christianized it a little bit. This last winter, man, and I keep saying it, my wife's getting sick of it, but if you play the tape, you'll like it. I like it. The secular scientists are really driving, trying to find the center of the universe. And you know, when they find the center of the universe, there's going to be a lot of disappointed people because they're not it. I like that. The center of the universe is Jesus, man. Not you. Not me. You ain't it. And that's part of this message, but I thought I'd start out with that one. Now, in this verse, there's actually two parts that I'm going to look at here. And that is, the first, Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. He came as a servant king. Wow, I love that. And then he gave his life a ransom for many. Now, the same scripture, word for word here in 28, is found in Mark 10:45, and the context is the same. So two or three witnesses, every fact established. I love that. God doesn't miss anything. So two times we get the same statement. This is the real deal. On the service, I want to use one example, and that's found in John chapter 13. Of course, this is around the Passover meal, the Last Supper, it's called. And Jesus has just washed his disciples' feet. We're going to pick up in verse 12 and the teaching afterwards. And it says, so when Jesus had washed their feet and taken his garments, thank you, and reclined at the table again, he said to them, do you know what I've done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I then, the Lord and the teacher, washed your feet, you ought also to wash one another's feet. For I gave you an example that you should also do as I did to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, a slave is not greater than his master, nor is the one who is sent greater than the one who sent him. If you know these things, you are blessed if you do them. There's the do word again. Now, notice washing their feet was a custom back then, cultural. The principle and the point, as I understand it, is verse 15. I gave you an example to do as I have done to you, and that means to serve rather than be served. And he served that Passover, and he became the Passover lamb. So many scriptures that would show Jesus as a servant. Phil brought up 1 Peter 2:21, that in the flesh he gave us an example to follow in his footsteps. And that example of servitude runs the gamut of his life. And everything after, he is still serving us and will serve us, he says. And we're going to conclude with that one here in a little bit. Now, the ransom for many back here in the Matthew 20:28, and gave his life as a ransom for many. This ransom thing is big. And I want to go into it because that's a primary service that Jesus performed. I want to go over here first to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 24 through 26. One of my favorite scriptures. The Lord's bondservant. Because he gave us an example to be like him, and he was a bondservant. So we're bondservants. The Lord's bondservant must not be quarrelsome, but be kind to all, able to teach, patient when wronged, with gentleness, correcting those who are in opposition, if God may grant them repentance, leading to the knowledge of the truth. And here's the big part. And they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been held captive by him, the devil, to do his will. Those who are not in Christ and those who do not understand the freedom in Christ are held captive by the devil to do his will. And Jesus came and ransomed us. Now, ransomed is kind of like you've been held captive, you have been kidnapped, or you're enslaved. All of those are in there. And the ransom is the usually money, but something to buy somebody's freedom back. Now, in 1 Peter, we know, chapter 1, it was the blood of Christ. And I want to read this, the whole thing, in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19. We'll start in 17. If you address as Father the one who impartially judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves in fear during the time of your stay on earth, knowing that you were not redeemed, that's like ransomed, with perishable things like silver or gold from your futile way of life inherited from your forefathers, but with precious blood as of a lamb, unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ. And so we were redeemed, we were ransomed with the blood of Christ. And it says here, from the futile way of life inherited from your forefathers. All of us, no matter how great our parents were, fell into some traps. And we needed rescued. We needed ransomed. And Jesus was the servant that volunteered to do that. And he was the one who was acceptable to God the Father to do that for us. And we're so thankful, we're so happy that that is the case. And notice it's a blood sacrifice. And as I mentioned in my comment there a minute ago, you know, more and more people that we meet these days don't know the Bible. I had a class here recently, and I asked people, do you know about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and the fire? Half of them had never heard of it. And I just, whoa, so let's do it. See, we got to do the background now. We got to get it out there, and that's so, so important for building the kingdom. People aren't savvy anymore. And so a lot of times we have to back up and talk about this blood thing because people don't get it. I had a study with the landlord here where we have our assemblies. And, you know, he goes, wait a minute, what is all this blood thing? You know, he had no clue. I said, okay, let's go back. In Leviticus 17:11, the life is in the blood. God is a just God. Life for life. And he knew about, in the old law, how did it go? It was tit for tat. Eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. Thank you so much. And so I said, this is life for life. You are dead in your sins and trespasses. You are separated from God. And he requires blood. And you're dead. So guess what? You need a living Savior to step up for you. And that blood was required to cover you. Or me. Or anyone. Say, it's the justice of God. And it goes clear back to the beginning when they had the animal skins to cover their nakedness out going out of the garden. They had to kill an animal to get that skin. So, blood. And we have to go back and explain some of these things in detail to people so they're just not lost. Well, they are lost, but even more so, not getting the point. And so giving his life a ransom for many is a huge, huge issue. Before we leave that, I'd just like to say that in Romans 12:1, one of my favorite scriptures, we are called to be living sacrifices. You know, that's New Testament stuff. We're living sacrifices. We're laying down our lives for other people to get to Jesus. And we're not, hopefully, we may have to at some point, but we don't have to physically die to do that. We just have to die to ourselves and help somebody out. Take the time instead of going doing what I want to do. Help them to see Jesus and come to Jesus. You know, I see it's kind of like a drawbridge, bringing it down and letting people cross over and see Jesus. That's our servitude, see? We don't have to die. We're living sacrifice. Old Testament, you had to die. Old Testament's death. But New Testament is life. We're living sacrifices as we serve Jesus. And so the blood's already done. Now we just need some action. Need some follow-up. Need to find the people. And so the context of this scripture, I hope you know the context. It's kind of sad, you know. There, James and John, the sons of thunder, and blah, 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 you know, they get their mom to go down and ask Jesus. Look at that. See? Then the mother, verse 20, then the mother of the sons of Zebedee came to Jesus with her sons. So the sons are with her, you know, bowing down and making request of him. And he said to her, what do you wish? Command that in your kingdom these two sons of mine may sit on your right and left, man. They're the big dudes, right? And Jesus always does stuff like this. He asks them a question back. Are you able to drink the cup that I'm about to drink? Oh, yeah, no problemo. You know? Sure, yes. You betcha. And okay, you got it. But I can't give you the sitting on the right and left. That's not for mine to give. And then the other guys get indignant. Jesus got a problem, man, in the ranks. You know? Uh-oh. The other 10 are getting... You know, we're getting bad vibes, and the mom's kind of going, oh, well, boys, I tried. And then Jesus has this great teaching, and the crowning glory is verse 28, starting verse 25. Jesus calls them all together and says, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them and grind them down. That was good, Jerry. And their great men exercise authority over them with the bayonet. I've always learned it's the bayonet. And it is not this way among you. But whoever wishes to become great among you shall be your servant. And whoever wishes to be first, like these two guys, will be the slave. And another says, a place says, slave of all. Here it says, your slave. You're going to be a slave. Well, I want to be a bond slave of Jesus. And you know, these guys really took it, didn't they? James was the first apostle to be martyred, you know, as a kind of entertainment for the governing authorities. And then old John, man, all the things they did to him to try to kill him. And you know, this getting older is kind of weird because at 12 o'clock up in Columbia Falls, one of my best buddies in high school, they're having a memorial for. And that's where I would be if I was not here. Because there's a lot of servitude that I could do in that Catholic church. Especially with some other buddies that are going to be there. Man, he died. He fell and hit his head on a rock. Man, he was healthy, hiking, 2 PhDs, teaching college in Northern California, man. And I remember climbing Great Northern with them, Great Northern Mountain. You know, I got pictures of that. Old Greg. Well, you know, it's kind of weird when you're the last one to go out like old John was, because you're watching everybody else get cut down. And man, who's going to be at my funeral, you know? You know, that's okay. We'll have some of these young guys, maybe. Really, you know, John went through a lot. I mean, he took the cup over and over as he was watching the other guys get cut down. See? So, no easy road. But when you ask to be number one, man, watch out. He might give it to you. Servant, slave. That's what Jesus wants in his kingdom. Interestingly, in that time, in that culture, when they did have slaves, the bulk of the Christians were slaves. So they knew all about this, much more than Americans. We got to have messages to teach us. So, enough of that. Oh, I did want to get into this. The part of the context, too, is verse 17. Which is where all this starts. See, as Jesus was about to go up to Jerusalem, he took the 12 disciples aside by themselves and said, okay, I'm going to go up and die. And they're going, what? And then the mother shows up. And then at the end there, verse 29, and as they were leaving Jericho, a large crowd followed him. He was in Jericho, man, ready to go up that hill to be the Passover lamb. I mean, this is right at the end, you know, and they still don't get it, okay? So, be as it may, you know, he does the feet washing and try to get it through their noggins. before they get the Holy Spirit. And then once they got it, then it all, just like us, man, the Holy Spirit really teaches us, doesn't he? He's the teacher. The anointing which you received, you don't need anybody to teach you. You know, you need somebody to hold your hand when you're brand new. But, man, let's get going. Get off the bottle. Start getting something done. The milk bottle. Now, the other bottle you can get off of, too. That would really be helpful. Okay, so let's get on with this. I'm gonna do a three-part message here. All the big preachers do that, you know, from what I hear. Three-part message. That was just the intro. Yeah, yeah. So, well, you asked for the old guys to come up? You got it. So, anyway, joy. Joy. Because you got to prioritize, man. There's too much to do. You got to figure out what you're going to do because you got to limit it. When you say yes to something, you got to say no to five other things, right? Or people. So we got to prioritize. We got to use Jesus' prioritization. He's the Lord, you know. So joy. How are you going to have joy? Jesus first. It's an acronym, okay? Jesus first, others second, yourself dead last. I like that, dead last. So, okay, Jesus, he's the Lord, he's the master, we're the bond slave or the bond servant. Got it? Okay, now Jesus goes to great lengths to try to teach these guys this. In Matthew 10 and Luke 14, we're going to go to Matthew 10 first. These are, you know, I hope you know this scripture, but let's look at it and hear it both at the same time, and it gets into the brain better that way. 10:37, Jesus says, "He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. He who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. He who does not take up his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who's found his life shall lose it. He who's lost his life for my sake will find it." But see that there? Jesus is number one before anybody else. Now that's the easy one. The hard one is Luke 14. I mean, this is brutal. Really, it is. You know, when I always do Matthew 10 first, and then go over here to Luke 14 and about 26. I like 25. Now, large crowds were going along with him, and he turns and says to them, "Oh, man, this popularity contest is so fun." No. He said, "If anyone comes to me," they'll turn around. Probably thousands of people following him. That's a large crowd to me. "If anyone comes to me and does not hate," got it? "Hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters and yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple." Whoa. Dale Carnegie wasn't having any seminars that day, I guess. How are you going to keep a crowd? Right? Hey, unless you hate everybody, in comparison to your love for me, please read the footnote. You cannot be my disciple. You're not going to learn from me. You're not going to be able to follow me. Just, you know, you might as well just go do what you need to do if you're not going to put me number one before any and all. Right? Everybody got that? Jesus first. You want to have joy? Put Jesus first. Now, I always like John. You know, we're going to do another gospel here, another testimony. And this is around the table after he washed their feet. And they're kind of, oh, really? Okay, what's next? John 14, 15, and then John 15, 14. That's how I got to remember it at this stage of the game. Okay? "If you love me, you will do what I command." Okay? And then the other one is, "If you do what I command, you're my friend." I like those two. I like those two. Hey, you want to be with Jesus? Do what he says. Now, he does say a few things. I'm just going to hit the end ones. Okay? "Go into all the world, preach the gospel, all creation." Okay? If they're of Jewish background or they sat in a Sunday school and they know all the stories and everything, you can preach the gospel of Jesus Christ to them right out of the chute. "He that believeth the gospel and is immersed, buried, part of the gospel and resurrection shall be saved, he says in the very next verse, and that's kind of decoded. He who does not believe the gospel of Jesus Christ shall be condemned. That's how that other one reads. And then the gospel of the kingdom. The gospel of the kingdom is there too. Because that's what he did. You know, he hadn't died yet, man. That we looked at it in Matthew 20. You know, he's going up to Jericho to die. He goes, hey guys, remember I told you? I think it was starting about Caesarea Philippi as he works his way down south, you know. He's going up now to the high country from Jericho. And he says, hey, remember, man, I'm going to die in 3 days, rise again, all that good stuff. And they're going, whoa, what is going on here? And then in the Last Supper, they're all bummed out and everything. They didn't get it. When he came back, they got it. This is for real. This is going places. But you see, he's got to be number one. Number one. And he says to go and preach the gospel to all creation. Death, burial, resurrection, appearance, ascension. If they don't got that, move backwards. Gospel of the kingdom. What can Jesus do for you, downtrodden person? And then, of course, Matthew 28, 19 and 20, go into all the world. That's how to do it. Go into all the world and make disciples. You got to be a disciple of Jesus to make a disciple for Jesus if you're discipling somebody. And then you immerse them in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And you know, the name is singular. I like this because I got to do this a lot nowadays, you know. And because people don't know what's going on, you know, and they're wrapped around the axle all the time by all these other preachers. And I say, okay, let's look at this, okay. Name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Name is singular, so there's one name for the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Can you guess what it is? It's Jesus. Yep. And then verse 20, which the church has historically, you know, just not even done. Okay? Continue to teach them. The guy that got immersed, and you're part of it. Continue to teach them. To observe. That means to do in the jargon of the day. To do all that I've commanded you. Okay? So, Lord, J, the J of joy is the Lord. Now look at Colossians. I couldn't miss this one. I love this verse. The Colossian congregation reminds us up there in the boonies, you know, and kind of isolated. But look at, they got some of the choicest stuff for these guys. This little flock. I like that Luke verse. Colossians 3:22-24. Now this is written to slaves. And slaves back then was physical, so they understood it. This is for slaves of Jesus. Note how it is worded here. It says, slaves, in all things obey those who are your masters on earth, not with external service. Now, that's kind of like employee-employer relations. As those who merely please men, but with sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord. Whatever you do, do your work heartily. This is the Christian work ethic. As for the Lord rather than men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance. Get this one. It is the Lord Christ whom you serve. You serve Jesus by the way you do your work down here. Whether it's your physical job or going out and having Bible study, whatever. It's the Lord whom you serve. Do it to that caliber. That's the standard. It's the Lord you serve. No matter if you got a bad boss or not, it takes care of that in some of the context here. But you got a terrible boss or not, you do it like you're doing it for Jesus. Right? Any amens on that? Please. Get it? See? All these downtrodden masses just doing the work heartily, even though they're trying to steal from us. Man, they don't know what they're doing, just like those guys who crucified Christ. They're just adding fuel to the fire. So, next is, oh, others. And that blends right in. We're serving others on Jesus' behalf. Notice they're second to Jesus, but we're doing it for Jesus, just doing it to them primarily and up front. Matthew 5:16, right in the Sermon on the Mount, right up front. Say, let your light shine before men in such a way that they see your good work and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Well, I think if they glorify the Father, they're going to glorify the Son also. I think that's in there. That's what we do. John 13:34-35. Right after the foot washing thing. Let's go back there. Look at this. 13:34-35. Anybody know that scripture, by the way? A new commandment I give you? Well, the old commandment was what? Love your neighbor as yourself. I knew a guy once who gave his wife a 30-odd six for her birthday in the fall, and she never liked hunting at all. And you know, he was obeying the Old Testament. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you, you know? Right? Well, then, I would like to have a new 30-odd six to go hunt with, so I'll give it as a gift, and then I'll borrow it. Whoa! You know, that old law could be just chalked around every which way, and people do that. But the new law, you can't. Because it's self-evident, as our forefathers would say. A new commandment I give you, that you love one another. Here it is. Even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. You got to love one another as Jesus loved you. That means being a sacrificial servant, putting others first. And Jesus just happens to mention, by this all men will know that you're my disciples, when you have love for one another. Isn't that amazing? And then right across the page, John 15, this is all around the Last Supper teaching, trying to get them ready. They'd get it later. In 15, where he says, this is my commandment, that you love one another just as I've loved you. 13 and 14, greater love has no one than this, that he laid down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you, which is laying down your life for others as a living sacrifice. See that? That's what we do. Well, let me tell you, brothers and sisters, it's more than just friends. It's more than just phileo we're talking about here. And we got to prioritize. Might as well do it right now. I was going to do it at the end of this battery of scripture, but I'll do it right now. Okay. Number one, if you're married, let me put the disclaimer in here. This is my prioritization, which I have taken from the Bible. And if you see it differently, great. Just do it, okay? Now, this is how I prioritize. Number one. Number two. Okay, Jesus, number one. Okay, far down from the top, but nevertheless, among people, others, number one. The first one after Jesus is my wife. I'm responsible for that disciple in so many ways. My wife. Number two, my children. Now, Jesus gave me those disciples. And I better serve them. I better serve my wife first and my children second when we talk about others. Jesus, number one. I'm not discounting that, okay? Because that's what Jesus said. You know, even hate your wife in lieu of your love for me. So, but wife, children, and then brethren. Now, hopefully, my wife and children are brethren. So, kind of, okay. But brethren, that's the next one. And sometimes it's right at the top of, you know, the families, the brethren. So, and then physical family. I have a responsibility to my mom and dad. whether they're Christians or not. Jesus on the cross, you know, kind of called John up to take care of mom because he was the oldest son. Get a clue. He was serving people on the cross, and he had that prioritization dialed in. Mom. Wow. Now, I hope those two boys that got their mom to go to Jesus on their behalf did something like that, too. I would hope so, because she was a good mom. Okay? I think. I hope. I hope to talk to her in heaven. She makes good conversation, you know, at times. Okay, and then after family, physical family, friends. People I like that are not in the body. There's a bunch of them meeting right now up in the Catholic Church in Columbia Falls. And man, I wish I could be in on that. I wish I could be at two places at once. But this is the priority because these guys are down the list from you guys. Co-workers. Man, you got to deal with them no matter what. And guess what? You got to love them. You got to serve them whether you don't like them or not. Got it? And then acquaintances. Acquaintances, man, that's the whole shooting match. Going to the store, wherever, man, pick it up. And some of you guys are great at that. But they're way down the list on servitude, man, if you got to make a decision. And then last, but certainly not least, your enemies. You are to serve your enemies to make them friends. You know the best thing you can do to an enemy is bury them? And have them rise to walk in newness of life to be a brother or sister? Yeah, let's do it. Ananias shaking in his boots. Are you sure, Lord? That's Saul, man. He's a bad dude. Yeah, he's one of my chosen. He's going to do great things. You get on down there. Street called straight. Love it. Praying and fasting for 3 days, you know. I don't know when Ananias got the call. Maybe waited 3 days. I don't know. But I'll tell you what. If anybody could do a sinner's prayer and get in, it would have been him. But he didn't, because Ananias said after his little spiel, arise, what are you waiting for? Arise and be immersed in the name of Jesus Christ, washing away your sins, calling on his name. Yes, it's all there. One little verse. So, no sinner's prayer. We're out for the real deal. Bury him. Okay, so, besides that, look at verse 11 as long as we're here. Okay? Because I got the idea of joy from somewhere, and it was from Jesus. Look at, these things I have spoken to you that your joy may be made full, 15:11, and that your joy be made full. Now, how did, that didn't read right. These things I have spoken to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be made full. Got that? Okay. Jesus first, others second, yourself last. Fits right into the message, so I threw it in. Okay, Philippians. Let's move on here. Talking about Paul, he had some great words for the Philippians. He loved the Philippians, man. That first chapter is just full of gospel, gospel, gospel all over the place. You look at it. And they were joyful people. And look at chapter 2, starting verse 3. Now, this is a command, by the way. This is not a suggestion. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus. Look at that. That's the attitude, man. He just told you the attitude. Now, how he got to the attitude is the rest of the story here. By divesting himself, emptied himself. And we talked about that earlier. Mr. Sutton did a fantastic job on that. And that's how you do it. And I'm going to talk about that on the why on yourself at the end. But look at this. Have your attitude in yourself just like Jesus had. He regarded others more important than himself. Didn't look out for his personal interests, but the interests of others, us. And with humility of mind, he saw us as more important than himself. And nothing selfish. That's all yourself. See? Jesus, man, he modeled it big time. And it says right there, others before yourself. Now, this one's important. This one's really important because it's application. If you tune me out by now, please come back. Come back just for a little bit. Just for two verses, okay? Because this is really important. This will make or break you. Serious business. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. It ain't pretty, but it's true. Everybody got it? This command, again, is not a suggestion. And let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another and all the more as you see the day drawing near. You know something? Any given assembly, let's take the Lord's Supper assembly, okay? An assembly of the saints. Well, you can go ahead and do it in your house or whatever if you want, okay? But that's not what Jesus says here. Now look at it. This is servant's heart. Why are you to be there? To stimulate and encourage. And they're sandwiched around. Don't not be in the assembly. Be in the assembly, right? Don't forsake it. Sandwiched is your duty to others, to serve them by stimulating to love and good deeds and encouraging them. First thing you do is be there. Second thing is to help. Now look, if you do not have this servant attitude that you're in the assembly for the other brethren more than yourself, you will not make it. I truly believe that. I believe if you're there for yourself and what you can get out of it. Now if you're a babe, couple months old in the Lord, we still got to go through this stuff and share it with you, man. There's a transition. You know, there in 1 Peter, I think it's 1:21-22, where it says that when you were immersed, it was for a sincere love of the brethren. Remember that verse? Okay. For you were purified for a sincere love of the brethren. You know, I was not purified for a sincere love of the brethren. Boys and girls, or just boys, tell you what, I went into that cold Gallatin River to save my hide from the fires of hell. That was totally selfish. That was self-centered, man. I didn't want to go to hell, and I knew I was, as that happy-go-lucky college kid. Once the word got to me, I knew I was going to hell. And I went into that water, man, and I'm glad you held me under as long as you did. And I needed that, okay? But guess what? You know what God's purpose was? To get the Holy Spirit in me so that I could have a sincere love of the brother and stop camping on the weekends up in the high country on a gorgeous day like today in the missions, right? I was down at church because I wanted to be there because the Holy Spirit changed my heart's desire and I wanted to be a servant. I wanted to do what He said. And those guys were more important than me having a good time. And if you don't get that servant's heart right quick, like before you go down from this mountain, if you don't got it, if you're going to the assemblies for yourself, forget it. You won't make it. I am really sold on that. You can take me on like you'll take Jerry on about the kingdom afterwards. But man, if you are not there for the brethren and you're there for yourself, your days are short. Because there's going to be times where it ain't fun at all. And some of those assemblies that I went to, man, maybe still have got some to go that I really didn't want to go and I really didn't feel like it. And I, you know, whatever. And I went anyway, man. I got the greatest blessings. Because when you let God take care of you and you start focusing on others, man, that's where the good stuff's at. God can do a whole lot better satisfying your heart's desire than you can. And He will. If you put yourself down and put Him up, serve others. So anyway, that's my soapbox for today. On that, I think that's survival type stuff. Now, the end. The end. What is this scripture we're working on here? All the speakers are working on 12:40. Let's go there. Luke 12:40. So you got that? Jesus first, others second, yourself last. You're last. I didn't get into your being last because that should be self-evident. You know, the most miserable people I know are selfish, self-centered, think they're the center of the universe. The most miserable people I know. They might make a good show with all their toys, but you know, they're not joyful. They might laugh a lot, but they don't have joy. And you only get that when you find out about being dead to yourself. And that starts at your immersion, and hopefully you get it full view as soon as possible. Now, the camp theme, and we got pages flipping here, is Luke 12. Really good job, Jay. I love this one. I think it's really appropriate. Verse 40, you too, be ready, for the Son of Man is coming in an hour you do not expect. Right? No one knows the day or the hour. Okay? Now, look up at verse 37, because he does a little parable thing. 35 says, be dressed in readiness, keep your lamps lit, be like men who are waiting for their master when he returns from the wedding feast, so that they may immediately open the door when he comes and knocks. Okay? Blessed are those slaves whom the master will find on the alert when he comes. Truly I say to you, look at this. Look at what Jesus is going to do. This is Jesus talking. He, Jesus, will gird himself, he's the master, to serve and have them recline at table and will come up and wait on them. If you pass and you put Jesus first, others second, yourself last, guess what? He's going to serve you in heaven. Just like he did his apostles, only we'll know what's going on. Isn't that cool? Now, you two be ready. Now, there's two applications here I got. Put that rock there. Two applications I got. Now, you know over there in what is it? Yeah, for I always get those mixed up. 1 Thessalonians. We're told the Lord himself will descend with a shout, comma, with the archangel. Some people think the archangel's shouting. I don't think so. I think that's the guy with him. That's the strength. You know, saying, okay, I got the big guys with me this time. Not a little baby coming. The Lord himself will descend with a shout. What's he going to say? Now we know there's a trumpet. That's the next thing. There's a trumpet. But there's going to be a shout. What's he going to say? That's the big question, okay? And I've searched the scriptures. The best I can come up with is this. Ready or not, here I come. Yeah. How's that? You like that? The guys in the world get that one. That's good news of the kingdom. Ready or not, here I come. Okay. Let's see what I can do with this one. Steve Doty. Is Steve Doty here? Oh, my goodness. Well, Steve Doty really impresses me with his messages, especially when they're up here and I get to see his face, but even in my car when I'm not seeing his face. Remember that one message where he's talking about overwhelming power and force and how they do it, you know, and all his military stuff. And he goes, and they'll come in, they'll just bust through the door and go, freeze! Did I do that good enough? Was that good enough? Did that sound like Steve? Freeze! So I've been practicing that one, okay? What if that's what Jesus says? Freeze! When he comes back. And whatever you're doing, boom! Okay, stop motion. Okay, now, here's the big question, everybody. As he comes down, were you serving me? Were you serving others? Or were you serving yourself? End of discussion.